Father, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for all that you are. We thank you for the power of the rebirth, Father. We thank you that it's enough, Father, to overcome darkness, to overcome ourselves, Father, to live holy, holy lives out of that special place inside of us where your life abides, Lord. That is enough that we are born again, Father. We worship you. We praise you and we thank you for all that you are, for all that you're going to do, Father. We thank you for your manifested glory, Father, in this town, Father, as in these last days. Father, it will take more than eloquent speech, Father, to get the sinner to repent. Father, it will take your glory, your manifested power here on earth, my Lord. Your manifested glory here on this earth, Father. That and only that, with your love, Father, we can change this world. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Glory. Hallelujah. My wife picked me up from prayer and then took me to Winn-Dixie and said, are you preaching today? I said, don't know. It won't make or break me if I do or don't. I'd rather sit down and hear Pastor Bronk. Really, honest to God, you just come to this church, you come to worship God, and you come to worship God, and whatever happens, happens, right? But I really didn't per se prepare, I don't think, completely to minister God's word, but when you spend your time with Jesus, it something's going to come out. Yeah. And the Lord's been really working on me, not forsaking Luke chapter 6. I said Sunday that I'm going to preach on lying on Wednesday. Lying is opposite of not telling the truth, in case you didn't know that. So I said Sunday I was going to preach on lying, but I'm not preaching on lying today. Would that make me a liar? I might be preaching it myself, Pastor Bronk. So yes, I might be a liar. But I was been in the Word all day today, and around Luke 6. But the Lord added something to the Luke 6 meditation. He added chapter 4. And 5 and 7 and 8 to my meditation in the book of Luke. And I can see why and clearly understand why. Before we get started, I asked the Father, I said, Lord, every word that I say tonight, I want to know that I'm hearing the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. Because if I hear him, he hears you. And if I hear him, then I'm hearing you. And if I hear him and he hears you, then I'm hearing both of y'all and I'm going to preach what's right. So I did something not real bad. What was it? Pastor Bronk said, oh my God, what did you do? Nothing bad at all. But I put something on Facebook the other day. I hardly post any more other than what we're eating or my kids' sports. That's usually what I post. But I posted the other day, I got a little judgmental. My post lasted on Facebook for about an hour. And then I pulled it off because I felt like I was qualified to judge this situation because the people that I was judging were my own race. So sometimes we feel just because they're our kids or maybe our husband and our wife that we qualify to judge. Now, we are qualified to judge situations and we are qualified to judge sin. That's a no-brainer. That's written. Well, we're called to that. But something happened in California, in San Jose, California, that really I didn't like very much. This is not political. I'm not going to get into politics, but a group of illegal immigrants were burning our flag. And that really, it got to me because I got a cousin that was a Marine. My wife's dad was a POW, and I've had an uncle killed in war. So there's been a lot of bloodshed for me and you. Been a lot of bloodshed for that flag. And I really got offended. And there's nothing wrong with being mad about it, but I did get into judgment a little bit. See, the only thing about the judgment that I get into, the people that were burning our flag, they have a pre-existing condition. And that's called spiritual death. that have a pre-existing condition that is spiritual death. And if I'm ever going to qualify to take that mote out of their eye, I have to learn. And I'm learning every single day to watch what I say and watch what I do. Because the Bible says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. A poor in spirit, a person that's poor in spirit is also rich. They're rich in faith. And faith, according to James, is when a man or woman abides by the law of liberty. That's faith. Well, I had faith. I bought a car. I had a faith for this. Well, no. If you keep faith in context, it's usually not making reference to a car. Faith, according to the book of James, is hearing the inward witness and doing the inward witness. Abiding in that law of liberty. And a man or woman that abides in that law of liberty, they'll be blessed in their deed. There's no way in the world we could ever go wrong when we abide and live our life out of the nature of God. It's just, it can't happen. There's peace behind that. Bible says in Luke 6 that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That could be interpreted like this, and I shared this with you Sunday a little bit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they which hear and do the principles of the kingdom, for the blessings of the kingdom will be theirs. We live to let our light shine like a city that is set on a hill. We live for the moment. Or we should at least. I was talking to some friends of mine yesterday at a ball game. To Ruben and Delio, we had a real good talk. And I've been in Acts a little bit about the M.O. of the church, or the M.O. of the 11 apostles. And I said something about random evangelizing or random evangelism. If it's biblical or not, I'm going to have to pull back from what I said a little bit. Though it's not the method of operation of the apostles, which is random, a random lifestyle in God or random evangelizing God's word, I can't see where the apostles lived that life just ministering God's word randomly. It, from what I read and what I hear, they did it according to the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure if you go through the book of Acts, you will agree. If you go through it and you pray in the Holy Ghost, you will see it. But if you're at the mercy of your own intellect, you're going to completely disagree with me. Now, random evangelizing God's word is not a sin. My God, go for it. That's good. But that's not the way our forefathers did it. That's not the way Jesus did it. Our method of operation is walking in the love and compassion and mercy of God. And when we do that, my friends, we can see clearly to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and do what he wants us to do here on this earth. Only then, and only then. We have to conclude within ourselves. And Pastor Bronk has really been teaching me. I've been glued to him because you heard me say one thing about Pastor Bronk. I said, Sunday, he says this a lot. What's he say a lot on Sunday when he preaches? But when he says that, he's being patient. Right or wrong, Pastor? He's being patient hearing what the Holy Ghost would have him to say next. I'm trying to say, to be patient. I really am, because I can get a little excited. You know I can. Somebody told me one time when I preached, they said, your words, they cleanse me. And me being the humble man that I am, Pastor Bronk, I said, stop right there. It was not me. It was the Holy Ghost. He said, no, it was you. You spit all over me. So I literally want you to feel the words, not just hear them, but not feel them physically, but feel them spiritually. I don't think that person sits up front anymore, I don't think. And rightly so. But one thing we have to conclude about, yeah. I still get nervous preaching, and I ain't gonna lie. Have you ever heard of Pastor Dave Roberson? Anybody here heard of him before? Remember last October, Pastor, I don't know where this come from. Pastor Bronk told me in October, he said, Homer, I want you to go up and testify. Huh? I want you to go up and test. I said, Pastor Brown, do you not know that this is Pastor Dave Roberson's pulpit? And then I get a little not nervous up ministering Pastor Brown's pulpit. I mean, I said, oh, maybe I get a little too critical sometimes of what I say, because we know that this revival, this outpouring, is going to be based on doctrine, on sound doctrine. And I almost got in error 4 or 5 years ago. I heard a lie that said the doctrine was not important. Boy, was I dumb. If that's the case, we're going to have to disannul the epistles. We have to disannul the epistles. We have to disannul the New Testament. Completely disannul it. But it's okay. I prayed my way out of that ignorance. Glory. We got to comprehend. We got to comprehend that Jesus was the teacher. We got to take the comprehension one step more than comprehending that he was a teacher. Jesus did what he taught. He did what he taught. And if we're going to teach the word of God, we better be striving our very best to do it. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. There are way too many self-exalted teachers, preachers of the word of God. There's nothing wrong with being eloquent in speech. I have eloquent teachers that are my elders, but that eloquence cannot be your righteousness. The love of God inside of you presenting the gospel is our righteousness. Moses didn't go to Pharaoh because he wasn't eloquent. He stuttered like Homer sometimes. So now the modern day church, well, if Moses didn't go because he wasn't eloquent and was slow in speech, well, I'm not slow in speech. I'm not eloquent, therefore I must go. No, not true. We'll leave it at that. But when John asked, and I'm going to get to the point a little bit. I'm just dancing a little bit purposely, hopefully setting something up inside of you. When John the Baptist sent his two to Jesus, ask him, is he the one that's to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered a question with power. And then he answered it with words. Go back and look it up. They said, are you the one that's to come, or do we look for another one? He healed many at that time of their infirmities. Then he answered the question with words. Tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. This is not a major revelation, but we got to comprehend this. He that taught the gospel to the poor was a poor man himself, because he kept the gospel and the doctrine of the Almighty God. He was poor in spirit. The way he wants me to be poor in spirit, keeping the principles of the kingdom, my Redeemer was poor in spirit because he kept the doctrine of the Almighty God. And he that asked me to walk in this meekness rewrote the book of meekness. I can learn from a perfect, perfect prototype. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Perfection on legs. That's who we serve. We have to take this book, take it, consume it, allow it to transform our thinking and to bring our Father an everlasting glory. We cannot adjust to situations. We cannot be Christians that only keep God's word when it is convenient. There's many times in my life where there's an inconvenience. It doesn't change the principles of the kingdom. They do not change because I face inconvenience. The principles of the kingdom do not change because I am in a diverse temptation or a fiery trial or an affliction or an infirmity. God's word is holy according to Psalms 119. It's undefiled and no man can change it. We can abort it, but we can't change it. We can abort it. Situations can cause, situations can speak to us and want me and you to abort it, but we don't have to abort it. We keep what is written, and we keep what is engrafted. That is our lifestyle. Whether we feel like it or not, feelings are completely irrelevant to our walk with Christ, because our spirit man is born again, not our flesh. People have told me, people have told me in the last 2 weeks, I'm here, you're struggling. You're referencing to these two rebellious eyes up here. I said, well, you heard wrong. My spirit's quickened, not my eyes. My spirit has the life of God in it, not my eyes. Do I wish I could see my ebony queen? Yes. I can touch her, though. I can touch her. We got to understand that the life of God lives inside of me and you, man. The life of God lives inside of our being. The spirit of holiness, Romans chapter 1, lives inside of me and you. And then we got the Holy Ghost. Then we got fasting and worship and meditation of his word. Oh, my God, there's no way in the world we can fail. Situations are completely irrelevant to me and you. Completely, I don't care what we face. It doesn't matter. Situations, the rhetoric of the flesh, it's all irrelevant to me and you. We have to stand strong in the word of the Almighty God. I don't care what we face. I don't care if we face death to the 10th power. We stand strong out of that spirit of holiness, and we bring God an everlasting glory. What if we walk by the inward witness? Well, this happened to me. What if we walk by the inward witness? Well, you don't understand. What if we walk by the spirit of holiness? We bring God glory. Amen. We cannot deviate from truth. We cannot. We cannot. We bring forth fruit. Luke says, patiently. Patiently. This word is heard so that it can be kept by me and you. We can't give ourselves that clause that says it's okay to exit love. No, we dwell in that habitation of love, and love dwells in me and you. That is what we are created in the Father. We are born again, Holy Ghost believers. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's what we are. That is what we are. That is what we are. We have to live and die by that. Live and die by it. Live and die by it. Luke 6. Have your Bible? I got mine. Let me see how close I come. Hold on here. Let me see how close I come. Wait a minute. Let me see. Let me see how good my spiritual eyes are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, nah, that's a little. Okay. Pastor Bronk, where am I at? Let's see how close I am.
You got a big Bible, brother.
Oh, Luke 6, right? No, Pastor Bronk. Luke, sit down, Pastor Bronk.
I didn't have my glasses.
Okay, Luke 6, Pastor Bronk, thank you.
Luke 6.
Yeah, thank you, yes. I got it right then, Pastor Bronk. Thank you, God bless, bye. Oh, Luke 6, man, ooh, God is good. Yeah, I thought we were friends, man. I would have had your back had you been blind. Glory. Oh, yeah, oh, that's, oh, he remembered that, didn't he? Of all things, glory. Luke 6, I've been there a while, been camped there. Really, at his instruction, he verified that today. Just going through it. I did go through Isaiah a little bit this week, a little bit of James, not much. Hey, I didn't try to say it, it just come out. But I did add 4 and 5 and 7 and 8. I had meditated 7 and 8 with Luke 6, but now I added 4 and 5, and I do those 5 together. I start in the morning, take my Dunkin' Donuts coffee out, and just go through it 4 or 5 times. And then I sit down, worship God a little bit, and I take a nap on occasion in here. But Luke 6, yeah, Carl wrote the book on naps. Called Carl in here one day. Carl, Carl, we got slobber all over you, son. Don't act like you were praying in the spirit. Okay, man, you got me, man, you got me. Okay, I need to get to preaching. It's getting late. Luke 6. It's amazing how you read Luke 4 and 5 and 7 and 8, and revival's in the midst. Visual demonstration of the kingdom of God is in 4 and 5 and 7 and 8. Jairus received his daughter back. The woman at Nain received her son back. A man was healed of the palsy. A man that had the withered hand was restored. Just miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle from 4 to 4 and 5. And part of 6 is he's still preaching miracles. And then 7 and 8 is miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The woman with the issue of blood touched Christ. We know the rest of that. She was healed. So you got miracle after miracle after miracle. Luke 6 is surrounded by miracles. Up to the point where he came off of the mountain into the plain, there's still miracles happening. 4 or 5, part of 6 and 7 or 8, all miracles. The power of the kingdom. Blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Surrounded by miracles. And if you look through Luke, I haven't gone through it all, I've just been going through the same ones over and over again. Nowhere in Luke does he take time out. Now, I know unbelief is eradicated through fasting. We believe that with all our hearts. We know what praying in the Spirit does. But really and truly, if you go through Luke, and I'm just saying Luke right now, nowhere in Luke does he give me a precise instruction on how to perform a miracle. Yet, we know that he said in Matthew 4, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching and preaching and healing all manner of sickness and disease. We know there's no dividing line there. We know that miracles are the will of the Father. For me to say different, I would be ignorant. For me to say that miracles today are not the will of our Father, it's evident all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts that the power of God is ours. Authority and power, according to Luke 9 and 10, has been given to us. To us, the authority and the power is not the problem. The Holy Ghost works the miracle. He works the miracle. So Luke 6 has a miracle surrounding before it and after it. And even before Luke 6, he was on the plain, came down off the mountain onto the plain and preached a message. The first recorded major teaching, it seems like, in the life of Jesus Christ. Luke 6 to me is a shorter version of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Luke records it a little different, but basically the same thing. And Luke starts out, and Luke records either saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I've been saying that to myself over and over and over and over again, because if you're poor in spirit, you're seeking the principles of the kingdom. If you're poor in spirit, you will be filled. You will be born again. At that time, no one had the capacity to really understand Luke 6, because they were all what? Spiritually dead. They all had a pre-existing condition. They were all spiritually dead. Dead, but one man whose light would always shine taught this message. Now, the day that Christ was crucified, would die, and would rise again, then the candle would be lit and they would be able to comprehend Luke 6. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. James chapter 2 parallels what Jesus said. Coming off of that mountain, he parallels. I'm not going to go into that, but he parallels. A lot of James comes from the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of the book of James does. If there's anything I want to be, I want to stay meek and poor. A person that's poor in spirit will receive, their candle will be lit, but a person that's poor in spirit has renounced their life, they've disowned their manner of life. We renounce our lifestyle. We renounce our life. We renounce the deeds of the flesh. And as much as possible, we strive to walk in that light every single day, no matter what we face. We have to abide in the light, set it on a candlestick and not under a bushel. That is our life. It brings me to this. And we're going to scroll down Luke 6, where Jesus said, and he spoke a parable unto them. He spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Listen carefully. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? A disciple is not above his master. But he that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam that is in thine own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. It's common for people to say what? Don't judge me. Not having a concept of what that means. Not even a concept of what that means. You have to, if Pastor Dave taught us anything, it was to keep the word of God in its proper setting. Thank God for what that man taught us. His teachings, his labor has saved my life. I had so much junk in my life where I would have walked away from the Father already. But that sin shall have no dominion, serious. I got it, read it, and stayed in Romans 6, 7, and 8 for 3 or 4 years till I got a certain piece of junk out of my life. I stayed there like a pit bull, and I got some junk out of my life. 6, 7, 8, over and over and over and over again. The pollen would rise up again. I'd make a mistake, but I hit Romans 6, 7, 8, 6, 7, and 8, 6, 7, and 8, 6, over till the pollen was gone. I'm a crazy kind of dumb. I don't stop. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Now he goes, before he says that, he mentions, love ye your enemies. Judge not lest ye be judged. Condemn not lest ye be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Be merciful as your Father's merciful. The part that grabbed me is this. I told you in the beginning that I took a little offense at somebody that I thought I could take an offense at because they were of my culture, they were of my race, they burned our flag, and it made me very mad because there's been a lot of blood shed for that flag. And just because they were of Mexican descent, I thought I had the spiritual right to judge them. And I did. There was malice in my heart. So I pulled that post off of Facebook after about an hour because I was wrong. Because they were born with a pre-existing condition, which is spiritual death. Make no mistake, we are the light of this world. We are. Jesus said, and he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but he that is perfect shall be as his master. A disciple is not above his master, but he that is perfect shall be as his master. A disciple is not above his master. A disciple is not above his master. A disciple is not above his master. Master being translated teacher. A disciple is not above his master. Now I get a little excited, and bear with me because I'm starting to get excited again. Back off the first row. Why would he make us, in context, love ye your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Love, do good, lend, judge not, condemn not, forgive, be merciful, love your enemies. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his master. Why would he make such a profound statement? A disciple is not above his master. But he that is perfect, perfect being translated mature or complete, shall be as his master. Disciple, Pastor Bronk, Miss Candy, Homer, Sharon, you're not above your master, but he that is mature, perfect, or complete shall be as his master. Well, let me tell you something right now. If the Lamb of God tells me and you, if the Lamb of God through conviction had me pull that post off of Facebook because the people that I was judging had a pre-existing condition called spiritual death. I judged them. There was malice in, is it on? There was malice in my heart when I put that Facebook post on there, and I completely deleted it, and I asked the Father to forgive me. A disciple is not above his master. When I choose as a born-again believer, the life of God in me, filled with the Holy Ghost, accountable, being under some of the best teachers in the world. Well, how do you know that, Homer? Because it's going to be kind of hard for me to hear anybody else and what I hear. Now, I am secure in my pastor. I'm secure in his doctrine. And I'm secure in what I teach you. Why? Because it comes from the Holy Spirit. I don't look anywhere else. I don't look on TBN. I don't look nowhere else. And if you do, that's fine. That's your prerogative. I'm not going to do it. I'm very secure in who my pastors are and who the elders in my life are. Very secure. Very, extremely secure. Is it a sin for you to go somewhere else? That's on you. I'm secure. I know what has me walking peace going through this time in my life. I know I look forward to getting up in the morning and spending time with my King. I'll judge it and leave it at that. I am not in misery at all. A disciple is not above his master. He said, love ye your enemies. I'm going through paraphrasing. Judge not lest ye be judged. Condemn not lest ye be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. We were talking yesterday with Delia and Ruben. We had a real good talk at a game. Had a real good talk. I love talking the word. When you're stuck in a room all day long, see, walls don't talk back to you. See, Pastor Bronk's smart. He'll walk in, hey, buddy, say what he's got to say, and then he'll leave, because I'm going to keep him there. I'm going to talk to somebody. I heard Miss Candy. Hey, Miss Candy. Oh, we just got home. Don't come around me, because I'm going to sit you down. Walls do not talk back. So when a real person with blood in their veins comes around me, I'm going to talk to you. Hey, buddy. All right, buddy, I got to go. Okay, Pastor Brock, I was about to ask you a question about the Bible. The walls don't talk. Don't come by here between 7 and 3 or 4 o'clock, because I'm going to get you. I might tell you to go to Burger King and get me a Whopper or something. We're going to communicate something. We're going to set up some kind of dialogue. Amen? Can the blind lead the blind? So they're not both fall into a ditch. A disciple's not above his master. Why would he make such a statement like that? Love ye your enemies. Judge not lest ye be judged. Condemn not lest ye be condemned. Forgive it so you'll be forgiven. Be merciful as your Father's merciful. Let me break something down to you right now. He's making reference to our enemies. Now, you could take the same teaching and use it for your brothers in the church. I mean, it doesn't really fit the context, but you can. But you can. It's amazing that usually it seems that our enemies are inside the church instead of out in the world. That's sad. We can't get along in here, much less trying to win over a society. That, my friends, qualifies us to be blind. If I can't love, if I can't live my life out of the nature of the Father, if I'm consistently judging, condemning, not forgiving, my friends, I'm not loving. I'm not being merciful, and I'm not extending the blood of Jesus. So then a disciple is not above his master. So if I don't love, if I'm not merciful, if I'm judging, condemning, and not forgiving, you know what? I've exalted myself above the word of God. I've exalted myself over the creator of the world. A disciple is not above his master. But when I act like that, I'm exalting myself above every principle of the kingdom of God. I've exalted myself over my teacher. Why? Because I disannulled his instruction. I've created a new platform for myself. I'm going to disannul what you say. It's irrelevant to me. But wait a minute. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I'm to be poor in spirit, keeping, hearing, coming to the Lamb of God to keep his holy, undefiled word. A disciple, he's not above his master, but he that is perfect, or he that is mature, or complete, shall be as his master. Grasp that now. But he that is perfect shall be as his master. Interpreted, mature or complete. A disciple is not above his master. And I checked today with two elders. One thing I've learned is not to be too proud to ask somebody if you're going in the right direction. I've learned, because I've been in error before, and I got corrected in a good way. So there's nothing wrong with going to those that you know their word and getting their thoughts. And both of them said the same exact thing, word for word, on what I'm sharing with you now. If I can't love you consistently, if I'm not loving you, my friends, I'm judging you. If I'm not judging you, if I'm judging you, I'm condemning you. If I'm condemning you, I'm not forgiving, and I'm not being merciful, and I'm living under law, under Exodus 22. The law, if you read the law in Exodus 19 to Exodus 24, all it talks about is restitution and retribution. It says, if I have aught with Pastor Bronk, I have the right to go to a judge. A judge condemns. And when a judge condemns, that's his verdict. Then Pastor Bronk has to pay me, or I have to pay him twice of the value of what he stole. Under law, I had the right to judge Pastor Bronk. I had the right to go before the judges. They would place a condemnation, and that was what it was. Case, it's over. The judge settled the situation according to Exodus 22. Well, under principles of the kingdom, according to Matthew 18, I don't go to a judge anymore. I go to that person to restore that person. Exodus 22 is fulfilled in Christ. All judgment was laid on him. All our penalty was laid on him. So be very careful what you decide, what I decide to say about somebody else. Be extremely careful. Extremely careful. We think we have that right. Be extremely careful what you say about somebody else. Extremely careful. Because you're talking about someone that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. Be careful. Be careful. But he that is perfect shall be as his master. Perfect being interpreted mature or complete. Grasp this now. A disciple is not above his master, above his teacher. This is what my Lord, he asked me to love. He said, don't judge the sinner. They have a pre-existing condition, Homer. They're spiritually dead. Don't condemn the sinner. They're spiritually dead. Forgive him. The only way you're going to pull that mote out of his eye is for you to let your light shine in his midst. Now, we're not passive. We know you must be born again, and we know you must turn from sin, because the seed of God abides in me and you, and we cannot sin because we are born of God. His spora, his life, that incorruptible seed lives inside of our spirit. We've gone from death unto life. We bring the world out of that darkness by living in the light. If they have the capacity to be one, and they have ears to hear, and we're walking in the light, we're going to win them over. But it can't be when a person has a pre-existing condition, we're born again. But we can act like we have a pre-existing condition inside of us. There has to be a difference. But he that is perfect shall be as his master. Think about that. He that is mature. Revival? Yes. Revival and knowing Jesus are one thought. They're not divided. They are not divided. There's no way you can sit and spend time with Jesus and not desire to want to see your brother with no leg for that leg to grow out. There's just, and you, it does not work like that. There's no way you can draw closer to the Lamb every single day and not desire to see his glory made manifest here on this world, because this world is fading, my friends. It's fading. It's getting dark. Not to mention the church. But he that is perfect, or he that is mature or complete, shall be as his teacher. Let it sink in now. But he that is complete or mature or perfect shall be as his teacher. I'm going to read this to you again. See if you can grasp it without me going into detail. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? If I'm not loving you, judging the sinner, the enemies, condemning, not forgiving, would you say that they're blind, being an enemy of God? If I'm judging them, condemning them, and not forgiving them, would you say I'm blind? Would you say they had a mote? Would you say I had a mote multiplied by 10 equaling being a beam inside of me? How can I ever take the mote out of somebody's eye when the beam is lodged in both of my eyes? So a sinner, I'm not passive, my friends. You know what I preach. I preach what he teaches me. I preach what he teaches. You must be born again. You must be born again and turn from sin. He told the woman caught in adultery in John 8, go and sin no more. Now, Mr. Grace says that we're forgiven all sins, past, present, and future. Well, Mr. Grace, if that was true, then Jesus would have just told her to go. He said, no, go and sin no more. So there goes his theory and his false doctrine. It's out the door. It's out the door. It does not exist. If that would have been the case, he'd go. No, go and sin no more. Yeah. There goes Mr. Grace's theory. Who's Mr. Grace? Ask Pastor Bronk. But he that is perfect shall be as his master. Pastor Bronk so humbly said that Jesus Christ was our master. He's our teacher. I'm sure you can all agree with that. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to break it down, then we're going to close, and we're going to go home. And he spoke a parable to them. Still, same message, same text of Luke 6. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind, so they both not fall into a ditch? A disciple is not above his master, neither is he that is perfect. But he that is perfect shall be as his master. And why? He asked a question. And why? And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Jesus isn't beholding the mote, but I'm beholding it. So am I above my master doing what he doesn't do? Is that not self-exaltation and being rich instead of being poor and rich in faith? And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? I know why. Ooh, I know, Jesus. Why? Because I'm blind. Yes, because you're blind. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Because there's not the beam that is in thine own. Now, you hypocrite. Don't you know that grace, that the blood of my son allowed you to be a joint heir with Christ and an heir with me in the kingdom of God, according to Matthew 18, yet you're disannulling my blood? You hypocrite. Can the blind lead the blind, so they not both fall into a ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but he that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote? Listen carefully, that is not brother's eye, but perceivest, but because they're not the being that is thine own eye. thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam. Listen, here's your answer. Cast out first the beam, Homer, out of thine own eye, and then you will see clearly. Cast out first the beam out of your eye, and then you will see clearly. Cast out first the beam. Well, how do I cast out the beam? Love your enemies. Be merciful as he is merciful. Judge not, condemn not, and forgive. As you would that men should do unto you, do you also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, Homer, and then you will see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Make no mistake, we're born again, Holy Ghost filled, to help people come out of that pre-existing condition that they are in, which is spiritual death. So if I can see clearly to pull out the mote out of somebody's eye, if I can see clearly to pull that mote out, am I maturing in my faith? Am I being made complete as my master? Make no mistake, we are born again, not to sit and warm a pew. We are to let our light shine like a city set on a hill, because there's millions upon millions upon millions that are born with a pre-existing condition called spiritual death. We had that pre-existing condition once before, but then we acknowledge Christ Jesus. Now it's our love and our desire, the way of the kingdom, to help those that are spiritually dead, to take that mote out of it. That could be used in other ways also. I understand that. Be ye perfect. I'm perfect. Whole. Pure. No hypocrisy. No partiality. A disciple is not above his master, but he that is mature shall be as his master. Luke 4, Luke 5, part of 6, Luke 7, Luke 8, you see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. He said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Luke 5, he was by the sea, and I'm closing down. He was by the sea, went out into the sea to preach the gospel. When he was done, Simon Peter, cast out your net into the deep for a draught. Lord, we have toiled all night long, but at your word, I've toiled all night long, but at your word, because you said so, I'm going to drop the net. And they brought in such a tremendous harvest that it affected their life. And then he said, do not, and they were astonished at the draft. So many fish that their boat began to sink. They were astonished. And Jesus said, fear not, for I will teach you and make you to be fishers of men. By what? He said, at your word, I'll throw my net into the deep. I've toiled all night long and caught nothing, but at your word, because you said the net is going into the deep and I'm going to do what you said, because you said it, and that reason alone, I'm going to do it. Do not fear. I will make you fishers of men. By what manner? By the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same word that said, cast it into the deep, you're going to bring in a harvest. It's the same word that me and you live by to become fishermen in the kingdom of God, and nothing else, my friend. There are no programs in the kingdom of God. There's only the obeying of kingdom principles. And if we can live by those kingdom principles, we shall be as our master. And if we're mature like our master, my friend, therein and only therein is revival. If I'm like him, if I'm mature like him, and I love my enemy, I judge him not, condemn him not, forgive him, extend the blood of Jesus. I mature like my teacher. And if I'm mature like my teacher, my friend, you take it to the bank, baby. I can take that mote out of your eye because my light is shining like a city that is set on an absolute hill. We must live out of that spirit of holiness. Romans chapter 1. Circumstances cannot dictate to me and you what we do or do not do in the kingdom. Unfortunately, they have. There is no difference between the world and the church now. I'll say this many a times, and I'm going to say it again. It's a common thing, common for a believer to live with another believer. And it's a common thing for that same believer that's chambering to post something on Facebook. God is so good. That is, Pastor Bronk, that is so common. Common. No conviction. No conviction. It's common. No, that's sad. That's why the world is what is. We blame the world. No, we're to be blamed. The church is to be blamed. The church, I am to be blamed. But praise God. Praise God that we have the apostles' doctrine. Praise God that we're taught what we're taught. We're going to the other side, my friends. We are going to the other side. Okay, so a storm of wind blows, rocks the ship a little bit, puts a little bit of water in it. We're still going to the other side. Can you imagine the apostles that day? They didn't have a clue. I think personally Jesus knew he was going to the country of the Gadarenes to set that man free. I personally believe that. Get in the boat, and I'm done. We're going to the other side. Okay. Ding, 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 row, row, row your boat gently down the sea. The man with the legion in the garden in Gethsemane. Hold on. Row, row, row your boat gently down the sea. The man with the legion in the country of the Gadarenes, Jesus is coming for thee. There we go. They were doing real good, Pastor Bob. Well, we're going to the other side. Row, row. Oh, like, oh, my Lord, Lord. They're singing away. Going away. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. They back. Oh, my God, they went back. They wanted to go to the shore. They wanted to call a lifeguard. They wanted to call a lifeguard. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? It's not what he said. He said, let us go to the other side. There was no word perish in that statement of Jesus Christ. Let us go to the other side. That is enough. Sure, there's going to be resistance. Sure, there's going to be trials or tribulations in our life. Jesus said, pertaining to Homer, he bore my sickness and carried my pains. It doesn't matter what I feel or that I can't see right now. It doesn't disannul truth. Facts don't trump truth. The fact was there was a storm that day. The fact was there was a wind that battered that poor ship back and forth. That was a fact. But the truth was the Lamb of God said we're going to the other side. That's truth. That's truth. We can't think it's not the will of God just because we meet resistance. Well, I don't know if it's the flesh or if it's the devil. Well, you know what? Disannul both of them. They're both of them are no good. Am I battling Satan or the flesh? Kick them both to the curb. It don't matter. It's not multiple choice. Kick them both to the curb. Neither one of them are any good. We know Satan has what did I call earlier? A pre-existing condition, and he's never going to be changed. And the flesh has the same condition in it. Kick them both to the curb. Both of them. We're going to the other side. And you know what? I'm 48. In 52 years, I'll be 100. Yeah?
He said, I'm going to the other side. And you know what? If I happen to be 99 and give up the ghost and we don't get to the other side, it still doesn't mean it wasn't his will. I died believing it was his will. We can't deviate because there's circumstances. We can't, but we do. We can't, but we do. We can't, but we do. It's not that a Christian can't overcome. It's a Christian doesn't want to overcome. There's a big difference. Bible says we're more than conquerors. The life of God abides in us, man. In closing, we got to get tough sometimes, man. Somebody told me the other day, I know that God's word says this, but. Seriously. I know what it says, but. I didn't say nothing. But my silence told them everything. Listen to that statement. Listen to it. Listen to this. Hopefully it'll grab you and shake you. I know what God's word says, but. That but's what got you in trouble. Because you knew, you comprehended, you understood what it said, yet it was still disannulled. That, my friends, is why the world is in the shape that it is in today. Because Christians, we got to stand up, put on that full armor of God by putting on that new man, and we will not live a defeated life. That's why we fail. We meet pressure, resistance, and we give in. We've never felt the pressure that Jesus felt at the Garden of Gethsemane. Never. His cousin was beheaded. What did he do? He walked out in power and raised the dead. John the Baptist was beheaded. What did he do? He went and caused more of a revival. He went and laid hands on the sick. He didn't whine. He didn't complain. He went forth in the power of the Holy Ghost, not moved by what was seen and by what was evident. He was not moved. And if he did it in his humanity, then me and you can too. But he that is perfect or is mature shall be as his teacher. If I'm mature, like my teacher, if you're mature, like your teacher, trust me, my friends, we can get motes out of people's eye. And if we're there getting motes out, what's to say that we can't say in the name of Jesus Christ, arise from that death, be made whole. One thought, they're not too seminary. Deacon boards, doctrines of devils have separated the two. When a person is born again in the book of Acts, they were also healed too if they wanted it. Religion has separated them. There is no dividing line in Matthew 4 when Matthew recorded that Jesus went through all Galilee teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness. There's no dividing line there. Not one. It's one thought. There's no way you can love Jesus and not desire to see your brother with no arm. There's no way you cannot desire for that arm not to grow out. There's no way. No way. I've got to be heard. I've got to be heard. I have a lot to offer. Okay, in closing again, come home with me. About an eighth of a mile down the road is a man in a wheelchair. Come with your eloquence. Come with your eloquence. Come with your rhetoric and present to him your speech. See, he's mad at God right now. So go with your gibberish. Gibberish without compassion is what I'm saying. The gospel's not gibberish. Go in your exalted mind frame or your exalted state that you're in where you feel you got to be heard with no compassion for people. Go. We'll be another regular dime a dozen Christian. Somebody said, I have compassion. And they said it with good intention. I'm not mocking them. When I go to the doctor, I see a lot of sick people, and I have compassion, which is true. But you know what? The compassion and mercy of God speaks in this manner. When you hear of a Christian being beheaded in Syria or Iraq, we say to ourselves, my God, poor people. But the mercy and the compassion of God speaks in this manner. What about the man that beheaded the Christian? The love of God speaks in this manner. That man is probably going to hell. The love of God, there is no partiality in it. Compassion is when we mourn not just for the one that was beheaded, but we mourn for the one doing the beheading, because if he dies, he's probably going to hell. That is the true mercy and compassion of God, and that is what we live by. That is what we're striving for, that compassion, that love inside of us. Like Gary says, it should grow like a tree inside of us, like an absolute tree inside of us. It's easy to have compassion for your friend. Easy. But we're called to be mature as our teacher is mature. And he gave us what maturity was. When you love your enemy, when you judge not, condemn not, forgive, when you're merciful as he's merciful. That's what he's looking for. To love even those that can't stand us, that want us physically annihilated from this earth. That, my friends, is a true mercy and compassion of the Father. When we do not give in, we stand our ground, live out of that incorruptible seed, and bring our Father an everlasting glory. A disciple is not above his master. I have no right spiritually. With the nature of God inside of me, I have no right to not love. I have no right to judge, no right to condemn, and absolutely no right not to forgive. Because if that is my disposition, if that is my narrative, my friends, let me tell you right now, I'm as blind as a bat, and I can do nothing for the kingdom. Nothing. Complete violation of Matthew 18. Complete violation of the grace of the Almighty God. But if we are mature, as our teacher is mature, therein, oh God, therein, my friends, is revival. Therein is revival. If the beam is out, I can see clearly to take that mote out of your eye. It's what he's looking for. He's not looking for eloquence, though there's nothing wrong with it. Pastor Bronk is a very eloquent speaker. He is. But he's also very compassionate and walks in love. There's nothing wrong with eloquence. There's nothing wrong with articulating well. But if that's your righteousness, then you got problems. We must let allow or desire for the love of God to grow in us like a tree. My desire to serve a people that hate us is growing in me like a tree. I really wish it would stop. I wish it would. I wish it would stop. I wish that desire would stop. But as I delight myself in him, he puts his desires inside of me. And that desire is growing more and more every single day to serve a people that can't stand what I live for. But I can't help it, Pastor Brown. I keep praying and it keeps growing. He's putting what he wants me to do in my heart. His will being made manifest in my being and in my mind. We have to finish. We must be mature and must be complete as our master to take out the mote out of society's eye. Therein, my friends, is revival. Therein is a disciple that's following Jesus. Therein is a man that's poor in spirit. And if we're poor in spirit, ours, the blessings of the kingdom, not only here, but in the world to come. That is why we live. So we got to give praise to God every day for what we are taught. Pastor Dave Roberson, in my eyes, no doubt, is an apostle. No doubt. You guys brag about him too much. Yes, we do. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize. The man loves Jesus. And if we have ears to hear and eyes to see, what he has taught us will change your absolute life. And the way I think, the way Pastor Bronk thinks, you will think the same way if you give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. We win, my friends. Let's be mature as our master is mature. We're complete like him. We qualify to take that mote out of somebody's eye. Therein, my friends, is the power of the Almighty God. Therein is a visual manifestation of the kingdom of God, his glory here on earth. Amen. Glory.